after we take that pause and breathe, start really noticing where the situation or our ideas about the situation may be showing up in our body.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another episode. I am so excited to just be here. And I'm going to comment on the background. I love it. It's not virtual. I'm actually in a different location today. Isn't that exciting? I know. When I first sat down and saw the screen, I said, goodness sakes, that looks like a virtual's background. It's not. I can go over and sniff those flowers anytime I want. So it's awesome. And I've got an awesome guest tonight, too. This is a topic that is near and dear to my heart because I actually am certified in hypnosis as well. And so when I found Daniel Alexa, he brings more than 30 years of professional problem solving to his hypnotherapy and coaching practice. And he believes that anybody's ability to change their story so they can achieve success. And I'm a full believer in this idea of the stories we tell ourselves too often manifest out there in the real world and become truth, even if they're not true. So we'll go more into his amazing bio. He's just got a really long bio. He's the author and let me get all the names here. Practical Manifesting and A Pessimist's Guide to Manifesting. Love that, Daniel. And also his third book, The 2-Minute Journal, became a number one Amazon new release when he released it just a year ago, August 2019. We'll go more into his bio as we get to know him better. But welcome to the show, Daniel.
Thank you, Sharon. So happy to be here.
First off, for the people who are not familiar with hypnotherapy, hypnosis, a lot of people think about the little dangling watch. Give your description of what is hypnotherapy?
Hypnotherapy is the use of the tool of hypnosis to help clients overcome typically limiting subconscious beliefs, that little imposter that sits in the back of our mind and tells us we're not good enough, the things that we don't deserve. Can also help with healing on a physical level as well. But hypnotherapy for me is about going to that new state of mind, which is truly, it's an altered yet natural state of mind. It's the same state that you're in as you're falling asleep at night, right before you fall into deep REM sleep in the delta brainwave, getting to that place where the churn of the conscious mind and all the noise of the day is quieted so that we can have direct communication and understanding with the subconscious to help promote healing and that new story coming forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm such a fan of hypnosis and trying to demystify it for people because it is very powerful. And as you said, it's a normal, natural state. Nobody's doing anything to you.
Yes. Okay? The client is in complete control. I am not in control. I am merely a facilitator. And maybe this will help for anyone listening who may still kind of wonder about that whole chicken dancing thing they've seen in stage shows. You cannot be hypnotized to do anything against your will. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis. And that means that the person who is receiving, the client, has to feel comfortable with the provider and they allow themselves to go to that state. It is not me snapping my fingers and saying, sleep now. And they suddenly check out and come back to full awaking, full consciousness an hour or so later, wondering what happened. They are fully aware through the entire session.
And I love that you comment that it's self-hypnosis. One of the things that I enjoy about my own training in it is I can go to the dentist or any other place that I might feel some angst and with the noise and all of that, and just completely put myself into that state of mild trance and be very comfortable. And I've had numerous people, whether it's a dentistry or some other thing like that, that might be a little angst provoking, say, wow, how do you remain so calm? And it's just because I just slightly check out.
It's a powerful place to be. I've done it with my dentist as well. I love my dentist, but there's sometimes it's just not the most comfortable place to be.
Yeah. I mean, so I love my dentist too, but sometimes the drilling noise can cause a little bit of angst. And sometimes there's other things going on that maybe someone in the other, you know, down the hall or something. I just like to check out.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about this idea of change your story. I'm huge believer that we've got a lot of limiting beliefs that we're not aware of, many of them from early childhood that really no longer serve us, yet we keep doing them because, gosh, isn't that normal? And in all my travels around the world, I just love it when people are going, well, this isn't normal. And I kind of, it's normal for them.
It's interesting how it comes forward, like we learn these stories. And I'm very much a proponent and in some ways of that we're born a blank slate. And there's parts of, I want to be careful in how I say that. There's parts of us that are born a blank slate. And I also have a deeper belief, and just for me, that there's also parts that we carry into this life for our purpose and other things coming forward. But as far as the identity that we have coming in, we learn so much of it. Learn it from parents, learn it from culture, learn it from those people around us. And typically these beliefs that get learned as air quote true are just an indoctrination. I just finished reading two of the books by Don Jose Ruiz, this one of the sons of Don Miguel Ruiz. And he talks about from the Toltec shamanic wisdom side of it, he calls it domestication. Of how we learn to exist in a culture, in a belief system, and we just tend to carry it forward, oblivious to the fact that it's a learned behavior. And the nice thing about learned behaviors is anything that we've learned, when we discover that it no longer serves us, we can choose to unlearn it. But the awareness of it not serving us has to come first.
Absolutely. And I just always laugh when people mix up the ideas of, first off, there's only one reality. I'm always like, gosh, I don't know. So I sometimes argue that idea, as well as they have a belief that their beliefs are 100% true. And I'm always fascinated when I find that it's, I guess, with all my training, I'm just always the slight curious, slight skeptic, I think, when I hear things. Even when I hear my own things, I'm like, is that true? Is that really true? And I go through Byron Katie's work in my mind to dissect some of the things that I find buried down there. And what was interesting for me was sometimes I will say something and then the momentary consciousness of like, oh, wow, that sounded just like that family member. Oh my gosh, I never thought that would come out of my mouth.
I had an experience with that when I was going through my hypnotherapy training, and I grew up in a family. Both of my parents grew up during the Depression. They were in their formative years during 29 through 33. And so I grew up, in the 60s, I was born in the mid 60s. So in the 70s, when I'm really starting to pay attention and consciously hear some of this messaging of there's never enough money to go around. Every time that you get a dollar, somebody's there to take it away. And that, you know, there's this whole idea of lack, particularly around finances. And I had left a job in Kansas City where I was making six figures. I was doing wonderfully. Six figures in Kansas City is fantastic. Moved to Florida with my current wife. And I'm going to school to learn hypnotherapy. I took a huge drop in income. And we're living in this wonderful brand new construction in Naples, Florida. Naples is for those who don't know, is like the retirement community for the 1%.
It's a billionaires gorgeous, live yeah, there. It's a gorgeous community.
So I'm walking around one day. I've got all these limiting beliefs now just piling on me of, oh, I'm barely surviving. I'm just getting by. I had my 401k. I was fine. And there was this, where I was working, I got paid every 2 weeks. So there's 2 months out of the year when you're getting paid every 2 weeks that extra paycheck comes in. You're like, I'm going to get ahead this month. It'll be great. 2 days later, I get a bill from the state of Florida. And if I remember correctly, it was for my car renewal, the insurance renewal registration, something. It's like just within a few dollars of that amount. And all these piling beliefs come on. Was on the phone with my sister 2 days later and just casually mentioned something. I think it was getting close to the holidays. We were figuring out a family present for the holidays for my dad. And as I said, I'm not sure what I'm going to be able to contribute this year because this thing just happened. She's like, oh yeah, every time you get a dollar, somebody's there to take it away. There's never enough to go around. And she goes into this litany. And at this moment, I'm into my training far enough with hypnotherapy to start recognizing those stories that aren't mine. And it hit me, like, how can she be saying the exact same words in the exact cadence, in the exact rotation that are going through my head?
Because it's
unless
not
we learned it from the same people, it's not my story. And then it's like, that means I don't have to believe it anymore. And that was a lightning bolt moment for me. Like, what have I been living and telling myself for, at that point, 50 years?
And I think it's true, and the understanding that within the family dynamic, very powerful. But it doesn't have to be within the family dynamic. A few years ago, I kept hearing this voice, and I doing some work on my own and with some team members of mine, I realized that it was a fifth grade teacher that really shouldn't have been a teacher. However, for whatever reason, it just personality clashes, shall I say, even though I was only in fifth grade. Anyway, long story short, I had some limiting beliefs around particular styles and voice tones that just would trigger me and set me off. And I'm like, wow, that's my fifth grade teacher. It's
like, wow. And it's funny, as you bring that up, the where we tend to get, particularly the limiting beliefs and those trigger moments come from interactions with people whom we see in authority, whether it's that family member, teacher, maybe a police officer, someone else in the community that we see as powerful in some way or put them on some sort of authority pedestal, they tend to have a little more impact in us than just like our fifth grade friends saying the same thing. Repetition of message is also has that impact, because the two ways that beliefs are impressed into the subconscious are, you know, in a moment of shock or through repetition of hearing that same message over and over. And, well, I'm young, I'm hearing it all the time, it must be true. And then we just adopt it in as our own belief, even though it's somebody else's experience.
And we've talked about money, and this was a personality clash type of thing. Why are you always so type of thing? I believe about this idea that we also pick up the stories of health and wellness, or lack of health and lack of wellness, as part of this history that we can carry into our beliefs. And I'm not firmly entrenched in this idea that it causes autoimmune, but I certainly think it causes some events to happen where we have to really work sometimes just a little bit to get past those past traumas and those past stories to open up to new ways of healing.
That's very true. And as we were having this conversation, I just had a lightning bolt moment of my own in regard to health. And a number of years ago, my family group, my parents grew up in a much different era and were not about physical fitness or working out, staying healthy at all. Would joke about, oh yeah, I just want to be a Jack LaLanne or an Arnold Schwarzenegger if I started lifting weights. Just very demeaning. Mm-hmm. And I remember in my younger age of having a set of weights at home and hear, oh, you're sick. When I used to bike, I used to ride century rides when I lived in Pennsylvania. And I was going to ride home one, like 50 miles from where I lived down to see my parents one day. Oh, you're sick wanting to do that. I suddenly realized that every time I got to the balancing moment of my health where I was building up and would crest that hill into being really healthy, I would catch a flu or catch something that would downgrade my health, and I'd have to take a week or two off before I could get the energy to work out again. And it just completely derailed me from really stepping into full health. But it was this message that I kept hearing, the desire to be healthy is sick, and it manifested.
Yeah, and I think that people have to spend some time in hypnotherapy or wellness coaching types of situations to help uncover those through good questioning strategies, because oftentimes it's that old story of the fish doesn't know they're in water. Mm-hmm. Finding those stories that keep us blocked, it's a lot easier for someone else to go, huh, maybe that's a story, Sharon.
Yeah, and that's one of my mentors, whom we both know, said to me one day as we were in a coaching session, I had one of those moments of like, I can't believe I didn't see that. And he looked at me and said, they're called blind spots for a reason, and that's why you hired me.
Exactly. Yes. Good coach. Good insights. And that idea of blind spots, how can things like hypnotherapy help people uncover their blind spots? Do I have to really go into trance to uncover the blind spots, or can it be done, I'll say, in a more of a semi-awake state?
We can do it in both. I am also a coach, so I'm a transformational coach. We can get to those same stories through conversation, just like we're having now. It tends to take a little longer because we're working from the conscious mind working back. When we're in hypnosis, it tends to come faster because the churn and the block of the identity is somewhat lightened, I would say. And we get to talk to those parts. I do a technique called parts therapy. And the idea with parts therapy is that we all have subordinate parts to our personality, not divergent, but subordinate. They learned a job that is they took on to be helpful, to support us in some way, keep us happy, healthy, safe. But they may have learned that job when we were 5 or 7 years old, in a moment of shock or in a moment of repetition. And this is my job. This is what I do from here on out through the rest of this person's life. Maybe in our 30s, 40s, 50s, that 5-year-old job, that part learned as a 5-year-old, is actually getting in the way of our true success and our higher calling, our higher desire to be happy and healthy and successful. But it still thinks it's helping. So when we go into a parts therapy session, we'll actually have conversation with that part, understand where it learned its job, why it's doing it, how it's truly serving the person in its mind. And what we'll find is it's the dichotomy between a short-term payoff and a long-term payoff, that it's doing the job that's in the short term, keeping the person safe in some way, but it's not opening them to the possibility of taking a risk, maybe getting into a relationship, taking on a new job, investing money, truly being healthy and getting out. So once we have that discussion with the part and help it realize you're not really helping their true goal, we can realign its focus and energy. It's a fascinating process that idea and that belief has now come into alignment with the higher calling, the bigger goal. And I see clients achieve so much faster when we go through that process.
Oh, I've been through it numerous times, and I think it's an amazing process. And when I first went through it, part of me came back was like, there's a whole course in there. you kind of start the process thinking, okay. And then as you come out, you're like, wow, there's a whole course. And some of the titles that I had given it was like the internal safety monitor, the inner critic, the inner child. Uh-huh. I had all of these cores that had their own little jobs, and they, a couple of them through this session, were quite diligent in guarding that this was really their appointed life goal, not one to change. Mm-hmm. And that was fascinating to me, even with information that, how about we assign you, you know, a better job? We'll give you even a bigger title. Some mm-hmm. of them can get rather entrenched in, I'm not moving.
And those are the ones that are really fascinating to me, because what I've noticed in the years of doing this work, that some of those parts that don't want to change are not our parts. That has been an amazing thing that shifted out of the work. And I've got a, when the client is in that state and we're having a conversation with a part, I'll tend to get just a gut feeling, an intuitive or instinctual sense, like, not sure that this is them. And there's a question that I'll ask in that moment. I will tend to ask them to connect to whatever higher awareness they want, they choose to, and ask that question to get clarity. And if it turns out that that personality that's showing up as a part is not truly a part of them, then we can remove it. The ones that are part of them, we realign because they are part of them, and then we reintegrate. The ones that are not, time for them to go away, the voices of others, the beliefs of others, so that the person can then fill that space with their own parts that are supportive and helping to move them in the direction they want to go in life.
And I think that's fascinating to me, because one of the times when I was doing it was definitely about, I had this moment of, those aren't even words I would use. That's not my voice. And I had a moment, the moment of realization, like, wow. And taking me back to the moment where it happened, and that voice and that thought belief was implanted. And I was like, wow, so powerful how we are and how we can shift, how quickly we can shift. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Daniel some more about this idea of how do we shift and can we do it with ourselves? We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I am so excited to be here tonight that I'm sort of tripping over my words, but we're here with Daniel Alexa, and he brings more than 30 years of professional problem solving to his hypnotherapy and coaching practice, and he believes in the ability to change your story is to change your life and achieve success. And we've been talking about some of the ways that these stories get implanted in us, some of the ways that they happen, and they can be from childhood and not service. And now I want to shift and think about these ideas of, so we've got that moment of conscious awareness of our story. We're like, wow. Let's jump forward and go, okay, so what are some things we do with it when we have that wow moment? I think it would be easy, especially with some of the parts, just sort of stuff them back in the closet and walk away.
That's one method that we tend to do, because it's, if I just stuff it down, it'll go away. But the other side of that is what we resist persists, and it tends to come back louder and stronger because you're not paying attention to me.
Yes.
You really need to hear this. I'm keeping you safe. So the one of the things, this part that may not seem like it's serving, it's not serving our growth and our happiness. Let's just use those labels. But it's protecting us in some way. It's doing something that it thinks or it knows is helpful. Thanking it for its job, thanking it for bringing that awareness forward and recognizing, okay, I hear what you're saying. I feel where you're coming from. Thank you for bringing it to my awareness. And now I can make the decision for myself, so that it's not constantly throwing this red light in our face, trying to distract us and trying to stop us. It's acting out for a reason. And when we recognize it, okay, I got it. I hear where you're coming from. I appreciate you trying to keep me safe. I got this. And then it's easier for us to move on in that new space. Sometimes that is a muscle that gets exercised. It tends to be one that's rather weak initially, of being able to stand up and recognize that is coming from a service, and that we can appreciate it with gratitude of awareness when it seems like the thing that's holding us back. But that's a moment of massive shift in behavior.
It is. And one of the things that I want to touch on is, do you have tips and ideas for helping people keep the forward momentum going? Sometimes it's easy
Yes.
to do, and I've been in situations where I have those momentary shifts, and then I go back into a particular culture, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I find this, it's slipping backwards. So let's talk about tips and tricks to maintain that forward momentum.
Quite a few. And the first one, at the moment when someone feels like they're starting to slip back, is to pause right there. Don't continue the slide back. Stop and pause and breathe and bring awareness to the moment. Those deep cleansing breaths, maybe box breathing of breathe in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four. But the reason for that is breathing is the only system in the body that is both sympathetic and parasympathetic. So when we're in that moment of frantic churn of, oh my God, I'm slipping back, we'll tend to go into that fight, flight, freeze, shallow breathing, because it just happens. It's automatic. But when we consciously take control of our breathing and slow it down to get back to that state of balance, we're sending the signal back to the brain saying, you're imagining this. I'm just watching a scary movie in this space instead of actually being chased by a monster. I got control. It's okay. I'm the one in control. Everything is fine. And that takes us out of that freeze or fight or flight moment to get to, okay, here's what's happening. I'm sensing I'm slipping. I can stop the slide. And now what do I need to do to proverbially plant my feet firmly under me and continue the process forward? The other thing is, we tend to beat ourselves up if we feel like we haven't achieved enough in a given day or period of time. And when I talk to clients about that, is the idea that we might have a goal of running a proverbial marathon every day toward our goal. But after you've run a marathon or two each day, there are going to be those days where your muscles are tired and sore, and you have just enough energy to get out of bed and shuffle two steps. And on those days, you are not a marathon minus two steps away from your goal. You are two steps closer to your goal. And honor those days, because we're not going to have the same progress every day, and allowing for that journey to take place as it's meant to occur.
Which, all of a sudden, I'm going to run down a rabbit hole here, but longtime listeners know that's what I do. I want to talk a little bit, Daniel, because this brought up this idea of what I'm calling, you know, this fight, flight, or freeze that happened with the pandemic and everything else going on, the protests and everything else going on, is just, in my mind, sort of a collective surge of energy that a lot of people now, including myself, are saying, oh, I need to step back and take care of my own physical health because this surge of energy just is very depleting.
It absolutely is. And particularly when we are inundated with all the negative messaging, all the ways in which the world is wrong, whether we're seeing it through traditional media or social media or some other means, family and friends, because they're immersed in it as well. That's where we need to stop and choose what we are going to allow into our space. All that negative energy, all that stuff has an effect on us. Whether we want to consciously accept it or not, tuning into Facebook and seeing there's 5,000 very close friends that we have on Facebook, seeing them bicker back and forth with here's person A's perspective, oh, here's this other friend who has a completely different perspective, creates a discord in us because I like both of these people, what do I believe and shouldn't I believe a little bit of both? I don't know. But at the same, it's not mine to take on. And the most powerful statement I can make in this moment for everybody listening is no thing outside of you has power over you unless you allow it to. If you choose to listen to certain news channels and they are causing your stomach to churn that you want to retch, no matter which side of the message that comes from, you're allowing it. Take responsibility for it. And if it's not serving your health and highest good, get rid of it and unplug.
I think that's great. I want to really underline that, bold that for everybody, if you can do that via audio and video. But I think that's really important. And to unplug and give yourself space and grace, even with family members. There's nothing wrong with taking a me nap, a me day, whatever it is sometimes that's the only way we have to recharge, especially when we have autoimmune. Right now, in my mind, it's self-care is more critical than ever because of the idea of if you got a flare, what are you going to do, right? So I'm saying take as highest and best care of yourself, both physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally at this point in time to make sure that you're running all thrusters and not let this, to me, it's so easy to get involved in this excess energy, this excess negative energy that it's taking, even that takes some conscious thought, some conscious effort to, okay, it's coming at me. I've got to step aside and let it go by in the old Aikido method, just let that energy go by. What other types of things have you found that you're sharing with your clients about this to stay well? I think a lot of people are walking around in a hyper estate of, a quick thing happened not too long ago. I'm walking down the street and I hear someone sneeze and it's in a house. I don't know how far away, but across the street and down a ways. But there was a momentary flinch. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. That sneeze was, I don't know, a good few hundred yards away. And yet I flinched. And I don't think I would have in 2019.
Yeah, it's amazing how just in a few short months, we've been conditioned to do things differently. There's a joke, a meme floating around Facebook that 6 or 8 months ago, if someone sneezed on an airplane, we would say, God bless you. And now we have an entirely different response to them that I can't say on the air. So it's incredible how this fear has shifted us from having grace with others to there's something wrong with them and I need to get away. And there's programming. We have been programmed. If we have chosen to move into that space of allowing this external energy to come in, that now if someone sneezes, I automatically want to run away and wash myself down with hand sanitizer. No, it's no different than what it was 3 months ago. Oh, I want to backtrack just a second, if I may. That idea of all the negativity that we tend to hear about, particularly in this moment in time, that there's good out there happening as well. And I particularly think in this moment, there's the phrase that we've all heard, you get more of what you focus on. So where are you focusing? Because it's all good things are happening as well. There's a wonderful video on YouTube that's the director M. Night Shyamalan, doing a commencement speech at Drexel University 2 or 3 years ago. And he really talks into this idea of I can tell you one version of my life where I am this wonderfully acclaimed director, and I can tell you another where nobody wants to work with me, and I've pretty much been drummed out of the industry, and I'm almost on the verge of bankruptcy making my next film. Which one of those stories is true? Both of them. Which one do I focus on? And as we start shifting our awareness into the things that are going well rather than the things that aren't, we'll move into a space of more balance. The book, The 5-Minute Journal, is fantastic at this, of shifting us out of seeing obstacles and into seeing gratitude and opportunity.
Oh, I love that. I love it because it is true. And I think a lot of people lose sight of the duality of life, that there's the opposite side is also connected to the front. You can't, you know, a coin has two sides, and to be able to focus on both of those and which one do you focus on is critically important. And I just want to share one final thought about this idea of focus. I was driving down the freeway the other day, and a big sign that usually says accident ahead started flashing, you know, COVID still rising or something along those lines, give space. And all of a sudden, all the cars started giving each other space. And I kind of went, I don't quite think that's what they meant by that. Because everything, traffic slowed down, all the cars. It was crazy how this learned response is still affecting us in ways that I'm thinking, if you really stopped to thought about that, why did you slow down? Obviously, uh-huh. In my case, I had to slow down. The cars were slowing down in front of me. But I was like, wow, what the power of the learned response and the ability to relearn or learn new is what we're talking about here with an open mind. We need to take one quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. And we're going to talk with Daniel in our last 15 minutes here on how to keep that open mind and how to learn some tips and techniques to keep ourselves safe and steady and out of fight, flight, or freeze. So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Daniel Alexa, and he brings more than 30 years of professional problem solving to his hypnotherapy and coaching practice. He is the author of several books, including Practical Manifesting and A Pessimist's Guide to Manifesting, and the 2-Minute Journal, or My 2-Minute Journal, which immediately became a number one new release on Amazon back published a year ago in 2019. And Daniel's been recognized by FeedSpot and Lost Empire Herbs as one of the top 100 hypnotherapy blogs in the world. He's got great tips and ideas there on his blog, as well as he's been honored as the best hypnotherapist in the Los Angeles South Bay area by readers of the Daily Breeze. So congratulations on those honors, Daniel. I'd love to have you share in our last 15 minutes or so some of the best tips or tricks that you have when you give your clients sort of like marching orders types of things that they can do themselves to maintain the momentum that they've gotten under your hypnotherapy and your coaching practice.
First one is in what we've already talked about, in those moments of awareness of something doesn't feel right, pause. I'll describe it in some ways with some clients as we can take the energy of a rocket and just light the engine on fire. And if the rocket doesn't have fins, it's just going to spin uncontrollably and never really go anywhere. And we can, and it's kind of how we come at things emotionally, that if we're in a heightened sense of emotion, positive or negative, that energy and our focus just tends to spin and not really go toward a linear goal. If we do get to the goal, we get there very inefficiently. But if we stop and pause and bring a balance to head and heart, where we are acting with emotion, but also with some conscious direction from the mind, it's like putting fins on that rocket that now it taking that same amount of energy and reaching the goal so much more efficiently and quicker. The next one is after we take that pause and breathe, start really noticing where the situation or our ideas about the situation may be showing up in our body. I'll do a technique with clients called felt sense. It comes from the work of a gentleman named Eugene Gendlin. And I'll ask a client to pause and just take a deep breath and tell me about the situation that's going on that they're having trouble with. And when they breathe into it and imagine it, I'll ask them to focus between their chin and their waist and tell me what's happening in that space in our core. And if it's a stressful situation, it will tend to be things like, I feel like my chest is tight, or my heart's racing, or I'm breathing shallow, or my stomach is in knots, things like that. Once we know that and have a body sense of it, we can start shifting that awareness that, like, this does not feel good to be there. But it's really easy to be stuck there in the turn of the mind when we're overthinking it. Now we have an awareness of how that energy of the situation is manifesting in our body. We can start shifting away of what would it be like, so we slowly begin to release that. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how intense is that feeling? And what would it take to move it down the scale and move it to something that's more peaceful or less stressful, whatever their words are for it, that we have control. But we get the control in that moment of breathe and pause and really asking what is serving my highest good in this moment.
I love that. It almost put me in a little bit of a trance. Just why are you saying that? I found myself doing the body scan while you were mentioning it. It's amazing how quick, once you have some exposure to the training and have experienced hypnosis, it's amazing to me how fast that you can link back into that yourself. And as I was mentioning the idea of the dentist, there again, just listening to Daniel explain the process, I found myself momentarily being in my own trance-like state and scanning my body and going, oh, then I noticed myself shifting my back a little bit just to release something. I love it. So
another tool I can throw out if we have time,
yes,
is using that same idea. If someone is in a moment of, I don't know what to do in a situation, like maybe they have a decision to make, using that a variation of that same technique, think about something that would be an absolute no for you, like something you would absolutely never do, and imagine yourself in that space. Discover where it's appearing in your body. What are the sensations that tell you it's a no? Is it that tight stomach? Is it something else? And then shake it off, take a couple deep breaths, and imagine something that is an absolute yes, sitting on the beach, whatever it is, that wonderfulness of, I would do this all day long. If someone asked me, there wouldn't be a moment's hesitation in me doing it. Same body scan. How is that showing up? Is it a lighter feeling in the shoulders or something else? Notice it, quantify it, shake it off, and then imagine yourself making the decision that is there presented to be made, and use those two awarenesses as bookends to see where it's coming up on the scale in your body. The body knows more than our mind does. If it's coming up on the scale of, that's a little bit closer to a no, then really ask yourself, is it serving me and is it the right thing for me to do? Because just as Malcolm Gladwell wrote in Blink, this gut instinct knows far more than what we do up here in our thinking mind.
Oh, absolutely. I like that little decision meter you just described. which way is the decision meter leaning? I love that. I think we can do that in many decisions. On a show recently, we talked about the prepared patient and how to be prepared. And on several of these discussions during that interview, we talked about this idea of when you're presented with a health challenge, and then when you get a first, second, or third opinion, how do you know, especially if they're very different? I love that. I think you could use that process on yourself when you're trying to make that decision as part of that as well. I love adding all these extra tools and helping you make decisions to make sure that I just like to cover all my bases. And okay, I also love to journal. And I know you have the 2-minute journal, because I also love to journal. I find that great for making decisions as well, because I can go back and reflect on when was it similar and how did that turn out?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It brings wonderful awareness.
And so tell us about your 2-minute journal. Can you really do it in 2 minutes?
You can. The title is just a slight misnomer. It's actually 2 minutes twice a day. So technically it's a 4-minute journal, but it's only 2 minutes at a time. And as I looked at, and I mentioned earlier, the 5-minute journal, which I absolutely love. I have the highest respect for that book. And a year or so ago, I was thinking, if I were to do something in a similar space without necessarily competing with it, what would I do differently? Where do I see the gap in that book? And what I noticed was in the questions of the 5-minute journal, they tend to be very present or past focused of what did I learn from the day? Is one of the last questions of journaling it in the evening. What did I learn from my experiences of the day, which is looking back on the day and bringing to the present moment? There wasn't anything to take that learning and carry it forward of how do I now apply it into my life moving forward. And I took my journal and designed it so that on a weekly basis, you start filling it out at night before you go to sleep. So you're writing, answering the questions of what happened during the day and the awareness that was brought, bringing it to mental clarity as you go to sleep, because your subconscious mind is going to process that information during the night while you're sleeping. Waken the next morning and write about what things came to mind or what new awareness do you have from having slept on it. How do you apply that into your day and carry it forward? And then the other nuance I brought to it was that 5-minute journal is the same questions every day through the entire book. There's no break. It's just the same stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Just, it is what it is. So every 7 days of journaling, I placed a weekly recap. So let's bring those high points together. What are the themes beginning to emerge within the week as we look from an even higher level? And then every 4 weeks, there's a monthly recap of what have you learned of this process as now we take it even to a higher level of awareness, combining both the conscious and the subconscious mind together.
I love that. I love that. Because the way that I journal, it's not with questions, mine's more of a free flow. But I was taught years ago to write only on the right side of the journal, leave the left side of the journal open. And then my mentor who taught it to me was much more systematic than I am. I have to give that fair warning that you go back and you reflect on the left side of the page, what's changed. And I have found that so helpful in my wellness journey that there were times I was doing a specific thing and I'll have to tattle on myself. You get doing it so well, you're feeling so great, you think you can cheat, and then pretty soon you're cheating, and then all of a sudden you're not feeling well again, and you go, what was that I was doing that made me feel so well? And lo and behold, I can go back and I can find it and remind myself, that's what I need to keep doing.
I love that idea. That's great.
Yeah, it's a wonderful way to but it's more of a free conscious thought than with questions. I think questions can be powerful for a lot of people as well. Now, I want to circle back on a word, because I know in previous conversations we've had, it's always been very present, and that's the word presence. So we have about 6 minutes left, and I want to make sure we get this in. Talk about when you use the word presence, being present, what does that mean to you, and how does someone know that they are present?
To me, it means very similar to the definition of mindfulness, being in the present moment, that and with what is happening right here, right now. I'm not thinking about what happened yesterday, what happened a week ago, 5 years ago. I'm not thinking about what is happening outside of me in the world, worrying about COVID or anything else. I'm not projecting into the future of, you know what, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I have a client. I better be ready for them. Or this weekend, I'm teaching. I better be prepared for that. I'm right here in this present moment, in the conversation, focused everything here, no distraction from outside. How do you get there? That comes from exercising that muscle of beginning to become aware of your thoughts as you slow down into the pause. What am I thinking about? Where is my attention focused? Because the only time, the only thing I have control over is right here, right now. I can be aware of I'm teaching this weekend. I can't do anything about it until 7 o'clock tomorrow when I start teaching. If I have a concern about it, okay, great. Thank you for bringing that part that says, you better make sure you have your notes together. You better go find them. Yeah. Okay, great. I can do that after this call. Thank you for alerting me. I'll be back to you later.
Now, I have to say, though, I'm sometimes in my life, I have to take note of that and physically take note of that, because I don't know about if it's just age or what, maybe, who knows. There are times that I actually have to say, thank you very much, grab a pencil and write it down.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Because I can remember, I'll go, oh, you know, right after breakfast when I was walking and all of a sudden it came to me, what was that? And I think for me, I know your blog is amazing and very well recognized. And I don't know about you, but I can have the most moments of insight when I'm doing something else or walking or someone says something to me. And I'm like, wow, that would make a good article, or that would make, and if I don't write it down at this point in my life, it's like, okay, I think.
I can't tell you how many articles have not been written for that exact reason.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad that it's not just me. Anyway, so we're down just to the last couple of minutes. I'd love any final thoughts, and then how people can learn more about you and where we can find your books.
Sure. So the books, the easiest question to answer there is, of course, they're on Amazon. They can all be found there. Pessimist Guide to Manifesting, Practical Manifesting, and My 2-Minute Journal. If anyone would like to find out more about me directly, they can find me on my website at danielolexa.com. And final thoughts, I think the most profound one that I may have, not that my words are that profound, that realize that nothing outside of you has control over you unless you give it. Whether that happens consciously or subconsciously, if it's not serving you, you have the choice. You are allowed to make the choice to change it. You are not beholden. You are not obligated to anything that is not serving your highest good and happiness and well-being in this world.
I love that. A quick question about A Pessimist's Guide to Manifesting. I haven't had the chance to read that one, but we have just about a minute left. I love the title. Give us a quick primer on how pessimists can manifest.
So the idea of the title comes from the fact that most people, when they hear about the law of attraction, one of only 21 laws, they will wish for something to work. And when it doesn't work, they will say, well, that's a bunch of nonsense. It didn't work, or it won't work. And when we come at the laws thinking they won't work, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then they won't work. The laws are always working, and we will get the energy that we put into them. So the book is about how we tend to have a mindset of not being in alignment, which is the pessimistic side. And then the book brings us back into alignment so that we are more the optimist and learning how to actually harness the laws to manifest what we're trying to do.
Oh, good. I love that title. I'm going to have to read that one next, everyone. That's Daniel Olexa. And you can find him at danielolexa.com, as well as pick up all his books on Amazon. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Come back next week for another brand new episode. Join me here, and we'll have another great time. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.